This is Fresh Air. During the free jazz movement of the 1960s, saxophonists left behind melody and chord changes for the unstructured abandon of shrieking, squawking solos. My guest, Sonny Chirac, was the first free jazz guitarist, using volume and electronic distortion to get the feeling saxophonists got from overblowing. He was first noticed on the 1967 Pharoah Sanders album Tahid. He's since recorded with Herbie Mann, Wayne Shorter, Don Cherry, and Miles Davis. But now Chirac is also part of the art rock scene. In the New York Times, he was recently described as the gray eminence of Manhattan's downtown avant-garde. His power playing has won him a new heavy metal following, but his new records Ask the Ages and High Life also show his melodic side. Pharoah Sanders is featured on Ask the Ages. From that album, this is a Chirac original called Promises Kept. Described yourself as a guitarist who always thought he was a horn player. Why did you play guitar instead of saxophone?
Oh, I had asthma as a child, and that plus the expense of a saxophone. When I started playing, the guys I wanted to play with, they had a guitar around, so they said, well, play this. And I picked it up and tried to play it.
Now, what did you want the guitar to do that you heard the saxophone do?
Sound like Coltrane. That's what I wanted. That sound that the saxophone players, well, not just saxophone players, like Miles, too, that what used to be called the cry of jazz, that's what I was after. And I'd never heard that done on a guitar. And that's what I wanted to reach.
When you were first starting, what were your early attempts to get that cry?
Oh, boy. When I first started, I was having so much trouble just trying to keep up, trying to, you know, learn changes and scales and keep the time, that I wasn't working on it. It was just in my head. But then after a couple of years, I developed some techniques that I thought would lead me to, reaching that cry. One was a very fast trill, like Albert Eiler did on his saxophone. That's what I tried to do on the guitar, to create a very fast trill. That way I could control the crescendo, decrescendo of the notes, you know, because guitar at that point, back before the electronics had taken such a hold in guitar in 1960, 61, that was the only way to really sustain a note.
By trilling it?
Yes, right.
This is the pre-Jimi Hendrix days.
Yeah, right.
So as you got more advanced, well, let's move up to the present. What do you do now to get the kind of distortion that you sometimes want to have?
I just turn the amp up and play. I don't use any kind of effects anymore. And I just, it's in the hands by now, or else you don't play at all, you know. That's my feeling.
Let me play your solo on Promises Kept. Can you tell us a little bit what you're doing on this?
I don't know, because it was a one-time thing. I think we recorded it in one take, and which is the way I like to record, so I don't remember at all what I did. I just played what I felt.
So you don't have any gizmos or anything attached to your guitar?
Nothing at all. I do on stage. I use a wireless system because it gives me mobility and I can get around the stage. I like being all over the stage, but that's the only thing I use besides the volume knob. That's
And how do you work the volume?
Well, I use a Marshall amplifier, which is kind of strange for a so-called jazz player, but I turn it up to really, usually no more than about 4 out of 10. I turn it up to a 4 and turn the guitar all the way up, the volume knob, and just play. I really believe your sound is in your hands. I've always believed that. Like horn players believe that their sound is in theirs, you know.
Thank you. Most free bands didn't have guitarists. Was it hard for you to find a place for yourself?
I was lucky because I met Pharoah Sanders early on in my time in New York, and I was working with him quite steadily. Now, by that, I mean we were working down at Slug's for $8 a night most of the time, but we were, you know, working and we were playing around. And then I joined Herbie Mann like my second year in New York. So I, you know, went on the road with him for almost 7 years. So I was pretty fortunate in that I, you know, always had a chance to play. A lot of guys didn't. I was just lucky, I guess.
How do you think your playing has changed since then?
I think that I've, as I've grown older, and maybe as you should when you grow older, I've gotten rid of a lot of the things that I didn't need, and I'm down to the essentials now, or very close to it. I'm closer to the melodies that I want to play and much surer of the rhythms that I want to use.
We know, in talking about melody, perhaps the most familiar melody on your recent records is your version of All My Trials. And something I was very surprised to hear.
Everyone's surprised at that.
Yeah. Well, it's an old folk song.
Yeah. That's been a tradition, though, with jazz players, I think. You know, for a very long time, to take old melodies and that they may have heard as children or, you know, things from folk music or spirituals, and to play them in a jazz manner.
Let's hear Sonny Chirac's All My Trials from his album High Life. Ever into learning Charlie Christian or Wes Montgomery riffs?
No, and I admire those guys, but I'm just not very fond of the guitar. The standard approach to learning how to play jazz is to listen to your favorite player and copy their licks and then develop your own out of that. And I was starting at 20 years old, and I realized I didn't have time to go through that very long route. I figured that would take 10 years to work yourself out of that, to find yourself. So I just started right out playing what I heard in my head. And at that time, it was very little. But, you know, that's the way I did it. I never played anyone's licks. I think I do know one Coltrane lick that he was very fond of playing on ballads. And sometimes I do that just for fun. But I never played anyone else's riffs, no.
You say you're still not fond of the guitar?
No, I don't like it. It's not as human as the horns.
Because there's no breath in it?
Maybe that's what it is. I guess that's what it is. But it just doesn't have the same. Even piano players get a more human feeling from their instruments. You know, you take someone like a Monk who just, you know, that every time you hear, Monk could play one note and you would know it was him, mm-hmm. You know, and they get such a good feeling from the instrument. But guitar, and especially jazz guitar, when I started playing back in the early 60s, it all sounded exactly the same. I, the other night I heard a guitar player, and I realized that when a guitar player plays chords, and you'll see these guys with these magnificent hands, and they play chords that go 10 frets and things, you know, all these crazy things they do, and it all sounds like it could fit on a postage stamp. Guitar is exactly the same from the top of the guitar to the bottom of the guitar, you know, when you do it like that. And that's why I'm not so crazy about it. It just doesn't have the scope of other instruments, you know.
Is this to say that if you could, you would change your instrument tomorrow?
No, I don't have to because I'm already a tenor player. Lots of guys laugh. I mean, Pharoah Sanders always cracks up when I tell him that, but it's true. I never have looked at myself as a guitarist.
But you are, you know.
No, I'm not.
You still have asthma?
Well, when my wife asks me to do certain things, yeah. You know, like, if, you know, women have a thing about painting, you know, they like to paint apartments and things, and I hate that. And whenever she gets into, oh, well, maybe we should paint, the asthma thing will jump up then, you know.
But you could blow if you wanted to now.
No, I don't think I could. I don't think I could. I'm 51 years old now. It's too late to start that.
Guitarist Sonny Chirac is my guest. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. Guitarist Sonny Chirac is my guest. So tell me what you think some of the advantages and disadvantages have been of, like, bypassing the standard way of learning jazz, you know, learning other people's riffs off of records and, you know, coming up through bands when you're in your teens and things like that, the things that you miss because you started when you were 20.
Yeah, I think the main advantage is that you're already on target when you start. I knew exactly what I wanted to do. And I knew how I wanted to do it, and I wasn't able to yet, because you still have to develop technique.
How did you deal with the frustration of being 20 and hearing something in your head but not having the technique to get it?
Well, I had no choice. I remember when I was in seventh grade, my teacher said to me, she said, you're a very bright young man, and I don't want to see you end up working in a factory. And she scared me to death with that because I had not a clue as to what I wanted to do at that time. But that's what's always driven me, is that I knew there was something special inside me. Not that I'm so special, but there were some special things inside me. And I wanted to get to those things. And I didn't want to, you know, end up someplace where I couldn't use those things.
Do you think if it hadn't been for music, you would have ended up in a factory?
Oh, I would have been dead by now, I'm absolutely sure.
Of what?
Probably whatever young men die of in the street. I was the typical urban teenager, you know, leader and warlord of the social gents, you know, the whole thing. I did that whole street thing. So I'm sure music saved me. And that when I started playing music, I stopped doing any kind of drugs and I, you know, got very much into the music. I remember once my mother, I was still living at home and working very hard on the music. And I was taking composition lessons from this guy, and I was at the piano in my room once, and I'd been at it for a few hours, and my mother, I felt someone watching me. I looked, my mother standing in the doorway, and she said to me, you know, you need a girlfriend. You know, right then I realized that maybe I was going at it a little too hard.
You are now involved with, you know, people in the art rock scene and the Manhattan's downtown experimentalists. Were there years when it was hard for you to find your place, you know, in the years after the free jazz of the 60s, in the years between then and now?
Someone in Europe called those lost years. I was working around New York at different places, Verna Gillis's Soundscapes and places like that. I was working in Europe at least two or three times a year. I just wasn't recording, so that kind of takes you out of the picture. But I was working, and mainly I was working on the music that I'm playing now. I was writing it and developing the style that I'm playing in, so I was, you know, spending a lot of time on the guitar, just developing my music.
It's hard to make a living when you're staying at home composing, though.
Yes, it is. So you end up doing a lot of things that you don't want to do, like chauffeuring and what else was I doing? I was working in schools with disturbed children and things like that.
Doing music with the children?
Sometimes doing boxing with the children, whatever it took to get, you know, to control them a lot of times. I mean, you know, it was a pretty rough time for me, but everybody has rough times, I think.
What kind of chauffeuring were you doing?
I was driving for this real estate guy, you know, all over the city to different appointments that he had.
Huh. In one of the scenes that you're involved with now, you're kind of a senior member, because so, you know, a lot of the people are a lot not that you're particularly old. You're what, 51 or something?
51, right?
Yeah, but a lot of the other people are more in their 20s or 30s, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make you feel older than you are? You know?
No,
to be the older member.
The guys in my band call themselves Sonny's Kids, you know. But I don't even think about age. I'm just so happy to be playing good that I don't care. It doesn't matter. You know, I've got a long way to go. I've just discovered myself, you know. It's just now starting to happen for me musically. I now am able to play the things that I hear.
Well, I've really enjoyed talking with you. I want to thank you very much.
Oh, it's been nice talking to you.
Sonny Chirac's new albums are High Life on Enemy Records and Ask the Ages on the Axiom label. This is Fresh Air.